broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go to line number one. And welcome back to the show, Mr. Dorsey Hager, who is with the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. ColumbusConstructionTrades.org is our website, and he's going to give us an update of what's happening in his neck of the woods. Hey, Dorsey, welcome back to the broadcast.
Thank you so much for having me on again. Finally, spring training has begun, and we're getting closer to baseball season.
I love it. I love it. I know we've been really lucky. In fact, your weather has to be even better than what we've experienced here in northeastern Ohio. My gosh,
it's been very mild, very warm. I just told my wife this yesterday, and I hope I'm not jinxing myself. We walked through the garage, and I looked over at the snow blower, and I said, you know what? We didn't even turn that thing on this year. And she goes, you know, don't say that. Don't say that. We still got a while to go. And I said, yeah, you're right. But hopefully we'll luck out.
Well, you don't have lake effect down there, buddy.
No lake effect. You're right. That's one of the pluses that we have.
Yeah, talk to those folks, especially in Lake County. My gosh, yeah, there was a couple times we had almost 2 feet in just about in a couple of hours, too. It's ridiculous. But hey, we're getting, you know, St. Paddy's Day is around the corner. You mentioned spring training. You got spring just a week and a half, 2 weeks away. So all's good, and especially good, especially for the trades, because there's a lot of construction outside. So let's talk about that. Number one is this newly renovated Franklin County Convention Center. Talk to me about about the labor component there.
Well, it's been kind of good because I actually sit on the Convention Center board, so I've been seeing firsthand how happy everybody else on the board and everybody in the public and the elected officials are with this project. And it's been great for the city of Columbus. It's been great for Franklin County. I think it's going to help us attract more businesses, more conventions, more opportunities to host and show what a great, you know, city, the capital city of Ohio, you know, Columbus is. But this renovation here of the Franklin County Convention Center, basically the project is $140 million in cost, which sounds like a lot of money, and it is, and we're very gracious to be doing all this work. But with the $140 million, they're getting a lot of bang for the buck. They've renovated 800,000 square feet, and they've added on 1 million square feet. So you're looking at a convention center of about 1.8 million square feet. All of it was done for a cost of $140 million. There's 74 meeting rooms, 3 ballrooms, and one of the ballrooms is the largest ballroom in the state of Ohio for convention center space, and it's over 50,000 square feet. So it's an incredible renovation. It's been really well ran. Great job by Cornica Cozing and Elford and all the subs that have performed on that job. I know it's on time, it's under budget, it's ahead of schedule. So I know everybody on the Convention Center board that I sit on is very happy, and I know all of us in the building trades are extremely happy to be able to show what we can do and this showpiece, which is the Franklin County Convention Center, which is kind of a gateway between the Short North that we talk about on your show sometime with the shops and the restaurants and stuff. It's a gateway between the Short North and the Arena District and downtown. So it's been really good. It's been really good.
And that's all 100% union then?
It's not 100% union. There was a few subcontractors that were non-union, but I think 86% of the job has been done union. There hasn't been any lost time accidents, no issues. Everything's on time and under budget. So, unfortunately, we couldn't get it 100% union, but it's pretty close. And I know a lot of us have been pretty happy with the project.
86% is fine in my book. We just got to keep it. Upper 80s, 90s, we're good with that. 100% is even better.
I heard that. And we won't count some of the elementary art school students. There's over 300 pieces of art scattered throughout the convention center that's really cool, and a lot of it has come from local elementary school students, including some from my former alma mater, Hilliard Elementary. So some really cool pieces of art scattered through that's given the convention center like a local flavor, and it's let everybody kind of put their stamp or get their local there on the convention center and kind of a taste of the area, which is really cool. So really cool.
And this is all open now then?
It'll be open in 60 days. It's about 90% complete right now. So I was able to go through the other day and take a tour with one of my co-members, Joe Savarese, who also heads the hotel and convention bureau here. He had an event a couple weeks ago where you were able to go Obviously, we have a new food vendor, too, so we were able to try some of the new foods from the new food vendor, go through and check out all the work that had been done, the convention center, and you know, it's about 90% complete. So, mm-hmm. But, yeah, but it's really cool. One of the biggest things they did, too, which I know was happy, made the electricians happy, is they added a gigabyte of speed, wireless speed data, and also added almost 150 antennas throughout the convention center. I guess that's what you would call them. So that way it's improved the wireless signal throughout the convention center. And I know the electricians and the IBEW 683, their members have been doing that work and upgrading those systems, and they've done a heck of a job. And I know that's made a lot of people happy, yeah. too. I mean, you know how it is. You go to a meeting, you go to a convention, you know, everybody doesn't sit there and pay attention and take notes on their notebook like you and I do, Flash. You know, right. Some people look on their iPad and search the internet and return emails or look on their iPhone. You got to have that strong wireless signal to be able to do that stuff, you know?
Oh, I know, and everybody today's got to multitask. You got to make sure you're getting the latest information. If you're in a convention, too, you might be getting some information that's vital to what you're meeting about. So that's really important that they have that done. That's good. That's very good. So 60 days. Away, $140 million, and now you got 1.8 million square feet of space. It sounds to me we're going to get a little competition up here in Cleveland. You know, we did that RNC. We got a bang-up job on that. Looks like you might be competing for some of those political conventions down there.
Well, and that's, I think, what we're hoping for. I mean, we talked about this a couple years ago. You know, we were on the long list for the Republican convention and the short list for the Democratic. And we felt like we finished second to Philadelphia in the Democratic. And, you know, it would be nice to be reconsidered again for 2020 or 2024. So I think we're headed in the right direction. I hope that's what happens. The added convention space has helped. We're also talking about hotels and more hotels, more hotel rooms, more hotel space. You know, we hosted the NHL All-Star Game last year. I think next year we're hosting the NCAA Women's Final Four, which will be good. So, you know, we'll never get an NCAA men's Final Four because we don't have the dome, but we have a chance to get in the regional final pool, and we also, you know, have a chance to do the women's Final Four, which we're hosting. So some of those events like that are very good for the city, very good for the county, and very good for the area. And then, like I said, if we can get back in that pool in 20 or 24 for one of the Democratic or the Republican national conventions, I think that would be a good thing, too.
So. Very good. Well, that's why you renovate places like that. Okay, let's move on to 2020, Columbus 2020 Workforce Development. What do we know about that?
Well, we became a partner with Columbus 2020 2 years ago. And, you know, whenever you become involved with a group like that, you're always, you know, have hopes and dreams and things that you want to accomplish. And I think we're starting to accomplish a lot right now. One of the biggest things that belonging to Columbus 2020 and their workforce development team and also their marketing team that goes out and not only do they help existing companies renovate and expand like the Columbus Airport and the Columbus Port Authority, but you know, Jenny's Ice Cream, Cheryl's Cookies, Anheuser-Busch, places like that, but they also go out and they get new businesses and get them to come here and expand. They've gotten Sofadil, the Italian tissue maker. They've gotten BrewDog, the brew maker from Ireland to come here, and they've brought a lot of businesses here. They were extremely helpful in bringing Amazon here, which has done about $2 billion worth of construction. Almost 100% has been done union, and it's really done a great job to empty a lot of our hiring halls with the sheet metal workers, the plumbers and fitters, the electricians. So that's what we're trying to do with Columbus 2020. But one of the people that Columbus 2020 hired, and I'm not sure what his title is, but he's kind of like a workforce development officer, and he became a really good friend of mine. His name is Tim Hartman. And Tim, big job and big goal is, obviously, when you go out and you attract businesses to come to Central Ohio, you know, businesses want to know about tax credits. They want to know about tax abatements. They want to know about what kind of space, if they rent or if they build. And then that kind of gets into our wheelhouse. You know, if they're going to build, do we have the people there that can build it on time, under budget, and safely? And, you know, and Tim understands how important that is. So Columbus 2020 has brought Tim Hartman in. His background, he worked for MGM Properties as their talent acquisition manager out in Las Vegas, and he not only work with their 13 properties on the Strip, but he worked with all of their properties all around the country. Was he helped bring in talent to help work in their casinos, and that's what he's going to do here. So let's say if there's a company that comes in and they're looking to choose between Columbus, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Not only are they going to look at everything like the local labor pool, the tax abatements, stuff like that, but Tim will be able to tell them that, hey, you know, we've got this facility to build. You know, Local 189 has the plumbers, the fillers, and the welders that you're going to need to build this. IBW 683 is going to have the electricians, and they're going to be trained, and they're going to have the people to do this. You know, Smart Local 24 is going to have the sheet metal worker. The building trades are going to have all these people to do this. So I've developed a relationship and a friendship with Tim. He's came through. He's toured some of our facilities, gotten to know him very well, and I'm trying to help him on some of these issues. And my hopes are that when he puts together these proposals for these different companies that are coming here and looking to expand or build in Columbus and Central Ohio, is that he can bring them through our hiring halls, our training facilities as well, and he can say, listen, you know, these guys are training world-class skilled building tradesmen, and these are guys that can compete or even excel past some of the other areas of the country that you're looking to expand. We have the talent, we have the people here to not only build your facilities but also maintain them now and in the future, and that's why you need to consider Columbus and Central Ohio as your place to expand. So Tim gets it. He's done this his whole career, his whole life. Like I said, he's in workforce development. He understands that we at the building trades get it too with our millions of dollars that we invest in safety and training for not only our apprentices, but also our journeymen and our continuing education. So I think it's a relationship that's going to pay dividends for both of us in the future, and it's something that we're going to continue to work on.
You know what that sounds like to me? It sounds as if it's a guaranteed workforce up front. I mean, if they're thinking about coming to your city, you got this guy, Tim Hartman, saying, you know what? If you're going to do this, here's what we have laid out for you already. This is a given. Am I hearing that right?
That's exactly it, and it's like I was telling Tim the other day. We met for lunch the other day, and I was telling him, too. I said, this has to be a two-way street, Tim. And he said, what do you mean? I says, well, if you see these Amazon, we've talked about this at length on your show, if you see Amazon coming in, or if you see Facebook, or if you see Citi bringing in a data center, and you know that we don't have enough electricians to do this work now or in the future, I'm going to grab you, and we're going to run over to IBW, and we're going to tell them, hey, 40 guys, 40 young adults coming into your program this year aren't enough. You need to bring in 80 this year and 80 next year, or you need to look at expanding by this amount over the next 3 to 5 years because the work is coming. You know, you want to be ready when the work is coming.
Right.
You don't want to be scrambling once the work is here. And I think we got a good group of managers and agents and organizers in our building trades and training directors in our programs that are seeing that, and they're very progressive and they're very forward thinking, and I think that's what we're doing. We're starting to get ahead of the game here and be progressive as opposed to reactionary.
Yeah.
And Tim's a great guy. He understands it. He gets it. Like I said, that's his career. That's where he's made his living in workforce development, working for one of the largest corporations in the world, MGM Properties, and he sees how it translates here to Columbus and Central Ohio. And he understands unions. He gets the building trades. He knows what welders and electricians and fitters and sheet metal workers do and insulators. And it's nice and refreshing that when a guy like that comes into one of our halls, he may have some questions dealing statistically about who we're bringing in and how many and why, but he understands what we do and why we do it and the money that we spend on training and how it's going to pay off for all of us in the future.
You got it. Boy, what a great idea. Good stuff. All right, I got to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk some politics. I know some elections you're involved in, and also we got to bring up that right to work thing again.
Oh, it's reared its ugly head again.
Ugly. Dorsey Hager on our live line with the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Also, coming up later in the broadcast, we're going to revisit with Andy Kroll of Mother Jones Magazine. He's got some, I know you're shocked to hear this, a conflict of interest in the Trump administration. We'll talk about it right here on America's Workforce. Don't go away.
With 650,000 active and retired members and a legacy of more than 116 years of accomplishment, the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers is a force to be reckoned with. We're fighting for economic prosperity through the creation and preservation of good jobs, fair trade, and respect for America's working families. the Machinists Union. We helped build this country, and we're protecting the people who live and work here.
A message from the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go back to our live line. Rejoin Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. All right, Dorsey. I saw it happen. You and I have been talking about this, right to work. It's happened in so many states. I think there's 28 states now. Missouri was the last. We talked about just 2 months ago, Kentucky. Kentucky fought it off for a couple of years, and then all of a sudden they get the Republican governor, bingo, right to work. So
same thing as Missouri. You mentioned it in Missouri. We had a pro-labor Democratic governor. He was two terms, termed out, and then as soon as he got out and was replaced by the Republican, the first thing he did was when the legislature put right to work on his desk, he signed it. Now Missouri's right to work as well.
Yeah, and the statistics bear it out. It shows the right to work states. The wages are down. The benefits are down. Obviously, union participation is down. Job safety goes away. We've seen that happen time and time again. But let's talk about state of Ohio. And you got these lawmakers that are hell-bent on saying, well, states around us are going right to work. We're just going to have to do it.
It reminds me of when I was a little kid and I would do something a little crazy. And my dad would say, what in the heck? And I'd say, well, so-and-so did it. Well, if so-and-so jumped off a bridge, would you do it? Well,
exactly.
No, I wouldn't. If these other states are doing this and they're leading their residents down this path of lower wages, lower benefits, fewer opportunities, lower training, higher job incidents, workplace fatalities, why would you do that? I don't understand that. And that's the thing, too, and I said that. And we talked about this on your show. I said this last summer when we were discussing the unemployment insurance compensation bill. One of our senators said, well, North Carolina does this. Really? Really?
Yeah.
You want to compare us to North Carolina? We're not North Carolina. We're Ohio. We're supposed to be better than everybody else. We're supposed to be number one in things. We're not supposed to be like everybody else. And just like we talked about at the beginning segment of this interview today, you know, Ohio is bringing in jobs. Ohio is bringing in manufacturing. There's opportunities here. Our unemployment is down. We're not losing out on places to Indiana or Michigan or Kentucky because of right to work. Right to work is not even an issue when companies are looking at coming here to grow and to expand. They're looking at trained, reliable workforces and a place where they can do business. And Ohio is that place. And we have the formula going right now. The economy is going well. We don't need somebody at the state house like John Becker to be the kid standing on the side of the road poking a stick in the spokes of the bicycle as it goes by. You know, we don't need it.
Well, I understand he's got 12 co-sponsors at this stage, and it's just the initial stage right now. We've heard comments from the General Assembly, some of the House leadership, that they're not interested. What's your take on that right now?
My take is this. I didn't read through his whole bill. I saw a few of the co-sponsors. We have the usual suspects. We have Hood down in Pickaway County. We have Brinkman down around the Hamilton County area, and then we have Christina Rogner in
Hudson.
And man, we missed a golden opportunity in the 2016 election. One of the many opportunities we missed, but Casey Weinstein's a heck of a a heck of a candidate, and I hope that he considers running in 18 when Christina Roebner's is termed out, so we can get that seat back and replace her with a common sense, somebody that has some common sense. But yeah, it was the usual suspects. I know what I'm hearing, and I'm seeing it in interviews in the paper too, is the Speaker of the House, Cliff Rosenberg, doesn't seem like that he or his caucus has the appetite for right to work here legislatively. They haven't ruled it out with people gathering signatures and putting it on the ballot. And if I think if we were to pin down the Speaker, I think that he would probably be a pro right to work guy. But I don't think they want to live through that again like they did with Senate Bill 5. I think if anything happens, I think it's going to be a ballot initiative. And, you know, ballot initiatives, while we would hate to see it happen, I would much rather like our chances there than legislatively, because I think that we can get the word out and we can educate the public, and we can let them know why right to work would be bad for them and the residents here in the state of Ohio.
Dorsey, is this a Koch brothers thing? Are they just putting a lot of money in these lawmakers' pockets so they can get their way?
I think it absolutely is, and I think that that's one thing that we have to be diligent at, looking at 17 and 18, of where the Koch brothers are going to be with some of these races. I mean, I know it's a year. It's already started. It's going to be interesting to see where the Koch brothers are with Josh Mandel. I think that, you know, they helped fund him in his previous run against Sherrod Brown in 2012. I know that they, you know, helped Rob Portman keep his Senate seat because they wanted to keep Rob in the Senate, and they would like to add another Republican in the Senate in 2018. So I would see the Koch brothers being on board with Josh Mandel. Josh Mandel has came out overwhelmingly, you know, for right to work. He's been talking about what the township trustees in Butler County are doing. So hopefully that doesn't happen. So yeah, I think we have to be diligent. We have to see where the money's laid and what is behind it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we have to keep very, very vigilant. And this is what scares me too, because when lawmakers say they're not interested, that's when they're interested. That's the scary part.
That's exactly. We can never rest. I mean, it seems like we talk about this on your show. We have to keep up the fight and keep our members educated and let them know about some of these anti-labor, you know, anti-labor bills or agendas or things that are coming down the pike, especially here at the State House, you know.
Yeah. So, hey, you mentioned workers' comp. Any movement on that? I know they wanted to get something going by April. What do you know about that?
I know they've put a committee together. I don't think they've met yet. I think a lot of the energy right now in the early committee meetings with the new House and Senate here downtown, I think has been dealing mostly with the budget, and I'm sure that'll take up a lot of their time. But I think once they get the budget done, voted on, and passed, I think that they'll then move on to the unemployment insurance, you know, the committee that they formed to be able to discuss that. So I think it'll be late spring, maybe even early summer, before we hear anything about that or any headway that's being made. So that'll be interesting to see what finds out. I mean, we obviously dodged a bullet last summer and last fall, so, and then lame duck as well. We thought something might come out of lame duck, and nothing really happened. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but I haven't heard anything. Right now, like you said, I've been paying attention to the right to work bill. I'm also hearing that Matt Huffman, a senator for up in Allen County in Lima, is going to be sponsoring a bill to abolish prevailing wage, so we got to stay on top of that. And then outside of those two things, it's the budget. Make sure there's nothing crazy like raising the prevailing wage threshold in the budget or anything like that. So those are our biggest things that we're looking at right now.
You spend your whole time dodging bullets, it seems.
Jeez. My wife was nice enough to take me to the Blue Jacket game the other night, and Bobrovsky got peppered with 46 shots, and she's like, that poor man. And I said, some days I know how he feels. You know? I get paid to dodge him. He gets paid to swat him back.
I feel the pain. Okay, yeah. Real quick, we got a couple minutes left here, and there's a couple of elections and some candidates here I know you want to give a little PR to, starting it with Megan Kilgore for city auditor.
Megan Kilgore is running for city auditor. She's kind of been hand-chosen by the incumbent who's decided to retire. That's Hugh Dorian, who's had a wonderful career. I think he served as our city auditor for 44 years now. Megan Kilgore is his protege, very smart, progressive, outgoing woman, great to work with. I've met with her several times, developed a relationship with her over the last 3 or 4 years. I'm going to try to do everything I can to help her, try to get all the other building trade unions on board. I think she'll do a great job as our next city auditor. One that we hate to lose, but we understand that he, you know, has a desire to kind of go in another direction, which is totally fine, is a good friend of mine, our Columbus City Council President, Zach Klein. Again, our city attorney, Rick Pfeiffer, is retiring. I think he's 72 years old. He decided he's going to retire. the person he's hand-chosen to take over for him is Zach Klein. Zach will do a great job. He's not only a great guy and a good attorney, but he's a heck of a politician. He understands labor. I've known him since he was in college. Once he graduated from college and was going to Capital Law School, I kind of took him around, introduced him to a lot of people in the building trades, a lot of people in labor. He gets our ideas. He gets our issues. He gets our struggles. He's the son of an AEP safety engineer. His mother's a school teacher. So unions are very important to him. The working class, the middle class is very important to him. And he's always one of the first ones to stand up and help us out. He even marched up and down High Street and Broad Street during the SB5 rallies and marches. And he's just a big proponent for the building trades and also labor, and I know he's well-liked, and I think he'll do a great job as city attorney. And then the other two that are kind of interesting, you usually don't hear a lot this early judicial races, but two people that have kind of stepped out, and one I'm starting to become pretty close to, even though I've only known her a few short months, is Morgan Masters. She's going to be running for Franklin County Municipal Court Judge. She's a great attorney. She also works in the suburbs as a prosecutor for some of the suburbs that can't have a full-time prosecutor. She's very well respected by the legal community, by other attorneys and judges. She's looking to step up and run for, like I said, Franklin County Municipal Court Judge. I told her I would try to help her as much as I could. We're going to have a labor breakfast for her in a couple of weeks, give her an opportunity to kind of tell her story and talk about her campaign and why she's running and what her passions are, and get to meet people in the building trades. And then the other one is an assistant city attorney right now here in the city of Columbus named Jared Skinner. Very young, very bright African-American gentleman who wants to also run for Franklin County Municipal Court Judge, and he's running in an open seat from somebody who's term limited because of they're aged out. But Jared's a great guy, very progressive. Like I said, he's worked in the city attorney's office. He's got a great resume. So just a handful of the you know, people say this is an off year. Well, you know, city auditor, city attorney, two court judges, you know, and there's two other judges that'll be up as well that are running as incumbents. You know, that doesn't sound like an off year to me. Every year is important, and every year matters to our members and the issues that affect our members. So these are a couple of people I've gotten to know or have known for a while that I'm going to be trying to help, because I think that they could do good not only for the city and the county, but also do good for our membership and also do good for the working people of Columbus and Central Ohio.
You know, you've been bringing up this name, Zach Klein, way too many times. We got to get him on the show. What do you think?
You got to get Zach Klein on the show. You got to get Zach Klein on the show. He's been on city council for 7 years, been president of city council for 2 years. He ran for Franklin County prosecutor last year in a very tough race against Ron O'Brien, who was a friend of the building trades and endorsed by the building trades. You know, it was a very tough race. Ron O'Brien had been in that office for a long time, and I think the Franklin County prosecutor has been held by Republicans since 1942.
Whoa.
But Zach took on that challenge and only lost by 5 points, in which was a very odd, weird Trump year. But Zach's a great guy. He's a young guy. He's worked for Richard Cordray in the Attorney General's office. He's worked for Vice President Joe Biden in 2008 when Joe Biden and Barack Obama were first in office. He's clerked for a federal judge in Allen County. Guy's got a heck of a resume, and he's only 37 years old. I mean, just an up-and-comer, great person. I know he's well-respected by Steve Dettelbeck, the attorney up there in Cuyahoga County that's looking to run for AG next year statewide. He's written letters of support for Zach down here, and I know they're very close. So, yeah, we got to get Zach on your show. I think he would do a good job.
Let's
do
that.
He would do a really good job.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, we need some new blood in the Democratic Party, and it sounds like he's the guy. Well, let's just send me his contact information, okay?
I will. And everybody wants to start talking about 2018, and that's fine. But, I mean, you know, I guess I'll use my baseball analogy. We learned this great last year. You know, the Indians, you don't go out and sign 23 free agents and expect to win the World Series. You've got to draft, develop talent, minor